Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
I'm going to invite Rob up to share today. So thankful to have him here. As I mentioned, he is a counselor here in the community, and his ministry and mission is to provide biblical and Christ-centered counseling to individuals and to families who are experiencing challenges in life. And we all know that we all face different challenges as we go through the ups and downs in life. And so grateful to have him here. And just wanted him to share a little bit about his background and how he got into this ministry, how God called him to do the work that he's doing. He's been in church ministry for many years. And just recently, just a couple years ago, you opened a counseling practice. And so what led to that? What needs did you see over the years in church ministry, maybe common themes among people in the church that would prompt you to start a ministry like you're doing?
Well, thanks, Chuck. Good morning, everybody, first of all. I served in vocational ministry for about 25 years at several different churches around our county. But before that, I actually had a counseling background. I was pursuing getting licensed. And then God, long story short, took me into a different direction for about 25 years. And now it looks like he's bringing me back to that. As far as, I see the same thing you all see, right? I mean, the world, we're all blessed to know the Lord, but the world is a hard place and we all struggle with things. And so whether it's depression or anxiety or fear or abuse or trauma or marriage problems. You didn't mention the couples thing. I see a lot of couples and stuff. All those things, you know. And so as a pastor, I could kind of do some limited counseling with people, but I had so many other hats I was wearing being on staff at churches. And now it's very freeing that I just get to focus on this. So I get to go a lot deeper with people and see God really work in some amazing ways in people's lives that it didn't as much when I was in vocational ministry and wearing all those other hats.
So you work with all different people in different situations, and sometimes you're working with people who are facing different crises. Other people maybe not quite to the maybe part point of crisis, but just facing significant challenges. And we've talked before just about, you encourage people, don't wait until there's a crisis, right, to reach out to help. And what would you say to everyone here along those lines as you get started today?
Okay. Good. I'd say what Chad just said, don't wait till you're in a crisis. It takes a lot, I understand, for people to reach a point where they're willing to reach out for help. But the sooner that you do that, the less there's going to be to work through. And so I'm always encouraging people, especially like in marriage difficulties, which, by the way, we all have. But if you wait till things get to be in a crisis mode, you've got this mound of stuff to have to work through, which God can still do it, right? Nothing is impossible with God. But I always encourage folks, it's a humble thing. It's a step of faith. It's courage, but to reach out and get help if you need it, you know, sooner rather than later. So I guess I will start now. Again, thank you for having me here today. I appreciate Pastor Chad inviting me. I'm thinking some of it might be the similar hairstyle. I don't know. But he's much better looking, though. But actually, we do have another thing in common, too. We're both from Minnesota, right? Yeah, I was kind of. Oh, but you weren't born there, huh? Where were you born? Oh, Illinois. Okay, wow. Okay. That's okay. We're still brothers. Anyway. This morning, I'm not going to exegete a passage from the Bible. I want to do more of a topical thing, and I think it's already been mentioned, but as I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to share after I was invited to come, that phrase, "He restores my soul," just started resonating in my heart and in my mind. And I know we're all familiar with Psalm 23. I know Pastor Chad taught through it last fall. So we're not going to go through it. We're just going to kind of hone in on that phrase today. And as I was praying about it and wrestling with it, I just thought, what could I share about how God can bring restoration into our lives? because as a biblical counselor, that's what I get privileged to be a part of and to witness, is God, through this process and allowing me to be a part of that process, bringing restoration. And restoration, when I think about restoration, not a technical definition, but it's like making something whole again or beautiful again or complete again, like it was supposed to be. And none of us are perfect in this life, and yet as we go through life, things happen, we get damaged and we get broken. And God can, and he does, and he wants to restore us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I think before I jump into it, I'd just like to invite you to pray with me again. I always like to ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, thank you for today. Once again, Lord, we just want to ask for your blessing, particularly on this next few minutes now. I ask that you'd speak to us, Lord, that you'd speak through me, speak through your word. And you know everybody in this room, the details of their lives, their histories, their needs, their desires, their hurts and everything. You know it all. So I just ask that you would use the next few minutes in your word through your Holy Spirit to minister whatever folks are needing from you today. And I pray that through all of it, you would be lifted up, Lord Jesus. So I just humbly ask this in your name. Amen. The first thing I want to start off and just kind of encourage you about is that we all need restoration. And I say that because over the years, I encounter folks who really beat themselves up because they're having problems, you know? Whether it's personal problems like, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be depressed. You know, I believe in Jesus, why am I so anxious? I'm trying to follow God in my life, why am I having such marriage problems? And I find folks really beating themselves up and condemning themselves because they're struggling. And so the first thing I want to hopefully encourage you with today is we all have problems, and that's okay. We live in a sinful world filled with sinful people, with sinful natures. Sinful things happen. We have sinful experiences that bring about sinful, broken consequences. That's just life. And some of those consequences look like depression or anxiety or addiction or poor self-esteem or low self-image or marital conflict. So if you're feeling that, if you're struggling with any of those things, you are not alone, and it's okay. Don't beat yourself up. You remember what Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 7? I'm going to paraphrase it, but basically said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. What a wretched man that I am. And this is the Apostle Paul, right? But if you turn the page to chapter 8, verse 1, he says, but therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the first thing I want to leave you with today is don't condemn yourself if you're having struggles. Paul did, and you know what? Jesus did too. Jesus was perfect, right? No sin in his life, but think about what he went through the night before he was crucified. When he was praying, he three times he begged his father and said, Father, if there's any other way to accomplish what needs to be done besides me going to, if there's any other way. And it says in Matthew, I think, yes, that he was so, whatever word you want to use, stressed, burdened, anxious, whatever word, he was sweating drops of blood. So even our perfect Savior in his humanity struggled. And so if Paul struggled and if our Savior Jesus himself struggled, it's understandable and it's okay if we struggle. So don't beat yourself up about that, okay? I'm telling folks this all the time in my counseling practice. So we shouldn't condemn ourselves because we're broken and struggling. But the second thing is we also need to realize we cannot restore ourselves. We cannot restore ourselves. The only place, the only person from whom we can receive restoration is going to be our Heavenly Father. And that brings me to the first question for you to ask yourself. You remember that story when Jesus and his disciples were coming to the temple and there was this pool there and there was this these arches filled with broken, wounded, sick, invalid people, and they were all waiting, presumably waiting for an angel to come down and stir up the waters in this pool because they believed that the first person to jump in would be healed. By the way, this story is in John chapter 5. And Jesus walks up to a guy, and the scripture says the guy, Jesus knew the guy had been an invalid for 38 years, and he asks him a question. And I know the Savior of the world doesn't ask dumb questions, but this is an odd question. He asks the guy, "Do you want to be made well?" You remember that story? Such an interesting question, but I think there's something significant to it. Here's why I think it means. If we want restoration in our lives, we have to be willing to make some change. We have to be willing to allow God to work change in our lives. And let's face it, sometimes change is hard. As weird as it seems, sometimes we're actually more comfortable in our misery, in our pain, in our brokenness, in our suffering, because it's familiar, because change takes effort. And it's hard and can be uncomfortable. But you remember Einstein's definition of insanity? You might not realize it, but when I say it, you will. Einstein's definition of insanity: doing the same thing, expecting different results. And we kind of chuckle, but you know, sometimes we all do that, right? So Jesus asks this guy, "Do you want to be made well?" And I think that's a relevant question for each one of us today. Whatever's going on in your life, do you want to be made well? Are you willing to let God restore you? That's a relevant question. The second thing I think, I'm kind of addressing this as a counselor now, okay? But when I meet with people, and I think encouraging you in your own lives today, another important aspect of experiencing restoration is to try to identify the source or sources of some of your brokenness, okay? And I kind of tend to look at three silos or three columns. One of them is physiological. Sometimes we have an imbalance, a chemical imbalance in our brain. I've heard about something called hormones. There's just, our bodies are made up like this, and sometimes they get messed up. That's another result of sin, or experiences, right? So when I meet with people and with you today, one of the things you need to check into is the physiological part. Like if you're dealing with depression or anxiety or PTSD, post-traumatic stress things, anything like that, you need to check that out. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. So I would encourage you, if you're struggling with some of these things, go see your doctor. Right? Just as a first step, kind of check out that silo and rule out if that's something that maybe needs to be addressed. The next one I label kind of the spiritual silo. And obviously this is a big, important one. But sometimes we're struggling with some of these things in life because there's something wrong spiritually. Maybe there's some unconfessed sin in your life. Maybe there's some unforgiveness in your life. And as I talk about forgiveness, I always want to make sure to clarify, sometimes forgiveness is a process, okay? We all know as Christians, God has forgiven us, and so we're supposed to forgive others. But I also know some of us have had others do things to us that are like impossible to forgive from a human standpoint. And I just want to say, with God, anything's possible, but sometimes it's a process. But if you're not even willing to start the process, that could be a problem that's affecting you. Sometimes there's some type of sinful activity or lifestyle. And this all, you know, sin separates us from God. Sin grieves and inhibits the Holy Spirit from working in our lives. So these are issues we have to address and work through. Obviously, we all know we have a spiritual enemy, Satan, the devil, our adversary. So we need to be aware that we have a spiritual enemy. And then sometimes maybe it's just a matter of being what we might call lukewarm. not really pursuing God, not making him a priority, putting him in a box as a part of our life. Any of these things, and there's probably a longer list, but if some of these dynamics are going on spiritually in your life, they could be part of the cause of whatever struggles you're having. And if you want to be made well, if you want to experience or begin to experience God's restoration, these issues have to be dealt with. The third silo or the third category, and this is the one that particularly I focus on, even though I focus on all of them, is the emotional or the relational silo, right? We're all people and we live in relationships and we have things happen to us through interactions and experiences and events that can affect us. For example, some of us have experienced abuse of some form in our lives. And abuse can look like a lot of things. There's verbal abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and probably a few other ones too. And those types of experiences damage us. They wound us. And they don't just go away. Sometimes we experience loss. No, let me rephrase that. If you haven't yet, you will experience loss. Whether it's obviously the loss of a loved one, but it doesn't just have to be that. It could be loss of your health, or loss of a job, or loss of an opportunity, loss of financial security, a loss of a relationship, anything like that. Significant losses in our lives can really hurt us, wound us. And then this covers all this and more, but then some of us experience what I would call trauma. And some of these things I just talked about obviously are very traumatic. But specifically and relevantly, I mean, we've been in a global pandemic for the last 2 years. I mean, I've never experienced anything like this in my young life. And that affects us. It affects us more than you realize, some of us, you know? And now, just when it feels like this pandemic is maybe starting to ease up, now what? Now we got this war going on. And even though it's on the other side of the world had become a smaller place. And I don't know about you, but man, it's affecting me. So we have these traumatic types of things. Or maybe you served in a war and you're a veteran. I meet people like that too who come back and it's been a traumatic experience. So my point in all of this is that part of moving forward and starting to experience some restoration is to try to honestly assess and identify some of the sources of your brokenness, whether it's physiological, spiritual, emotional, or relational. That's an important step. And then you bring that before the Lord. Another thing I want to say about this now, too, is as a part of you seeking restoration from God, you've got to let go of or stop trying to get restoration from the ways of the world. It's not all bad. Obviously, I'm a proponent of medical science. So I just encourage you to go to the doctor. But, you know, there's so much out there in the world today about, like, self-help, positive. I have family members, actually, close family members who are really into self-help and positive thinking and all that new age stuff. And you got to move away from that stuff, okay? We cannot restore ourselves. There are good things we can do to take care of ourselves. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But as far as the way the world thinks and works, I love Psalm 1:1. In fact, this is kind of part of my theme of my whole counseling practice. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And the other part of that is, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night, right? But when people are always talking to me about counseling, I just can't, in good conscience, refer people to go seek help from somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Because that's worldly wisdom, and we need to move away from that. Other ways we do it is trying to find answers in believing in other people and the books that they write or the things that they say, or just trying to escape our problems or try to avoid them or try to deny that we have problems. Or my friend Tony used to use this phrase, horsepower. Sometimes we've got this problem, this pain, this wound, and we're just going to man up and horsepower through it. I can get through it. Well, you might be able to for a while, but it's going to catch up to you. It's going to catch up to you. So we have to kind of turn away from the ways of the world. So where do we turn? So I'm encouraging you today, I'm encouraging us today to turn to God. So what does that look like? What does it look like to seek restoration from God? And I want to give you some real practical things about this, okay? It's part of my counseling practice is trying to get real, and I give people homework. That's an interesting idea. Maybe I'll give you guys some homework today. I like to give homework, and then the next time I meet with them, the first thing I do is like, how'd you do in your homework? So here's some things to think about as far as what does it look like then? How do I actually experience in a practical way restoration from God? Number one, and this might seem a little obvious, but you need to get some counseling, right? I'm not just talking about for me now. I mean, it could be a family member, a friend, a pastor. Pastor Chad's a pretty nice guy. I've talked to him. And maybe you do need like a professional counselor or a therapist. But the point is, don't isolate, right? And I can speak personally. That would be my tendency, but it's not good for us. God created us to need each other, to lean on each other. We're supposed to share with each other, confess to each other, pray for each other. So on whatever level you need it, whatever level is appropriate, you need to get some counseling. You know what Proverbs says? Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And now I'm going to quote from Lamentations. When's the last time you guys did a quote from Lamentations? But this is a great verse. Listen to this verse. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. So we need to not try to isolate and deal with things on our own. We need to, with someone's help, search our hearts and our minds and our lives and try and bring all of that before God so he can do some restoring in our lives. People need a safe place to express their thoughts and their feelings and their needs and their desires openly and honestly without fear of judgment or condemnation, but instead in an environment of unconditional love and acceptance and compassion, combined with truth and reality, where they're pointed to Jesus Christ. I just described what I try to do, but it doesn't have to be me. If every one of us had someone in our lives who would do that for us, I'd have to find something else to do. We all need that, but that's what we need. And that's what you need. Again, with the appropriate person, friend, family member, pastor, counselor, therapist, that's what you need. So that's the first thing. Another important thing is that we need to renew our minds. I refer to this verse all the time, Romans 12:2. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. The battle begins in here. So what we fill our heads and our minds with dramatically impacts who we are. And this verse says that God can transform us. That's a powerful word. How do we do that? Well, this isn't rocket science. I know you know this. We need to fill our minds with scripture. And I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, because you're here today, right? But we can't do that enough. There's space in our hearts and our minds, and it's going to get filled with something. And either it's going to get filled with stuff from the world, or we're going to have to fill it with the truth of who God is. And this is our source. When I first meet with folks, too, I try to discern if they're Christians or not. And I say, okay, you say you're a Christian. That means, one, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And two, this, and I always clarify, this is the Bible. This means this is our source of truth and reality. This tells us who God is. This tells us who we are. This tells us how we can have relationship with him. And we need to fill our hearts and our minds with it. And then there's so many resources nowadays. I've been into listening to podcasts a lot lately, all the time now. My wife's getting tired of it. Some of them are good, some of them aren't as good. But, you know, there's podcasts and YouTube and books and videos and all kinds of resources we have in our world today that we can use to fill our minds with truth and be transformed. And that's critical. There's no getting around that. Another thing I want to encourage you about, and I talk to a lot of folks about, is intentionality. Intentionality. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to experience God's restoration? Then you have to be intentional about some things. It's not just going to happen to you. And part of what I've been talking about already represents that, filling your minds with the truth. Paul talks a lot about in his letter to the Ephesians, in his letter to the Colossians, he talks about this idea of putting off the old man or the old person and putting on the new man and the new person. You familiar with that? And right implied in that is that there's some type of intentionality. It doesn't just happen. You have to intentionally make effort and do things in your life to put on this new identity that you have in Christ, and at the same time to put off the old person. It's a constant battle. When we get to heaven someday, we're not going to have to worry about all this stuff, right? None of this is going to be an issue. But while we're breathing on this planet, we're in a war, and we have to be intentional about it. And so there's lots of things that I encourage folks to be intentional about, and I'm going to mention some of them because maybe some of these are what you need to be doing, all right? Things like, well, just physically. Are you taking care of yourself physically? Getting exercise, diet, sleep, rest, you know? What about relationships in your life? A lot of times as I'm working with folks, they realize, you know, this particular relationship in my life is really not helping me. It's really not helping me grow in my faith and my relationship with God. It tends to be one that pulls me down or pulls me into the world. So maybe you need to do an assessment of the relationships in your life. Maybe some of those you need to cut out. Maybe some of them you just need to have more firm boundaries with. Accountability and support. You know, I don't want folks to just rely on me as their counselor. I'm always saying, do you have someone in your life with whom you can talk and be honest and transparent and who will encourage you and keep you accountable? We all need that. And you might have to be intentional about getting that in your life. Just your structure of your life and your habits and your routines. Are they helpful for you? Are they healthy for you? Are they helping you grow in your faith, in your relationship with God? Or do they tend to pull you out into the world and distract you? Things like, what do you do when you get up in the morning? What do you do when you go to bed at night? You know, what do you listen to? What do you watch? All those kind of things. And then some specific things like coping techniques. Like I talk to folks that really struggle with anxiety or they have panic attacks and things like that. And there's practical things you can do, learning breathing techniques or memorizing certain scriptures that you can just kind of meditate on to help calm yourself in these situations. These are all examples of intentional things that you can do in your life to help you not only cope but experience restoration as you're struggling with these things. Setting boundaries. One of my favorite verses I quote is, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Yet how many of us struggle with that, right? Setting boundaries in your life. And you're going to need the accountability to follow through with those. And then one other thing that's very helpful that we don't always think about is serving others. What are you doing in your life to serve other people, to take your eyes and your focus off of yourself and all of your pain and your struggles? Do something for other people. God can really do some healing when you do that. So these are all intentional things that maybe today I would just throw out to you to consider in your life. Are there some of them that you need to intentionally incorporate into your life to just position yourself and allow God greater access into your heart and your mind and your life to bring restoration? There's one other thing I want to just mention. And actually, this I have to give my wife a little credit for this one, but it's good. But you need to maintain perspective. You need to maintain a proper perspective. And let me just tell you what I believe from a biblical standpoint is a proper perspective. You know, when I was younger, when I was a new believer, my perspective was this. If I do everything right and I don't do anything wrong, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Then, if I'm a good Christian, then everything should go smoothly and I should have no problems. Some of you are chuckling because you know what I'm talking about, right? Somehow, when I was a young believer, I just really believed that. So you know what happened was bad things happened, and man, I was having some issues with God. Why is this happening to me? I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm not doing this. Why? That's not reality. That's an inaccurate perspective on life, right? Most of us have lived here long enough to know stuff's going to happen. Bad stuff's going to happen, no matter what. So we need to understand there are going to be trials and tribulations in our lives. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, you will have much tribulation, right? He also said, I will overcome the world. I overcome the world. So we have confidence. But we need to live life understanding there's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be trials and tribulations. And somehow accepting that fact and being prepared for it is going to be helpful for us. And then part of the perspective is that God, Scripture tells us, God says through his word that he can use our suffering. He can use our trials, our tribulations, and our pain for good in our lives. I'm not saying the actual suffering and pain is good or the events, but God can use them for good in our lives if we let him. That's true. That's what he says. Another thing to remember is in our suffering, oftentimes it's for a season. And I use that word season a lot. You know, talks in Ecclesiastes about seasons. And sometimes realizing, boy, this is a tough season of life, but it's a season. Now, sometimes the season might be for the rest of our lives. I have to address that reality. But even then, we know at the end of the day, there's more than this life. We're going to heaven. And I always talk about the Apostle Paul again. Remember in 2 Corinthians 12, we read that he had this thorn in his flesh. Nobody knows exactly what that was. But he talks about in 2 Corinthians 12 how he prayed 3 times asking God to take this thorn away. I mean, for Paul to ask God 3 times mean it must have been a big, painful issue for him. And God didn't do it. Instead, what did God say? He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul said, hey, if God's strength and grace is more in me through my pain and suffering, then bring it on. That's kind of Rob translation. But the point is, maybe some of the things you're struggling with are going to be your thorns in the flesh. In other words, maybe they're not going to completely go away. Some things don't go away, but God can use them. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you, even in your pain and suffering. God says, I can reveal through you, through your pain and your suffering and your faith in me, I can reveal my power and my glory to you and to those around you. And so part of the perspective on suffering is that there's an aspect of it that can be good. From a God perspective. That's hard. That's supernatural stuff. That's the kind of stuff that from a human standpoint, there's no way. But God can do it in us. And so sometimes you need to realize this could be something that's a thorn in my flesh. And God does heal. And sometimes we read in Scripture, sometimes he heals right away. I tend to see in counseling that oftentimes God heals as a part of a process. And then sometimes he doesn't heal, at least not what we would consider healing. Sometimes he lets it be our thorn in the flesh because he wants us to stay humble and dependent upon him. But his grace will be enough even in that situation. Your faith and not your perfection is what's going to bring glory to God and be a powerful witness to people around you. So just in closing, a couple last thoughts. There's so many good verses. I put together a list that I keep handy when I talk to people. One of them is Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. So when we are in pain, he is near. And so if you're suffering right now, and all of us are to different degrees, and some are in harder seasons than others, but my hope and my prayer today is all these things that I briefly shared with you, you can hold on to them and keep them on the forefront of your heart and your mind, and allow God to do some work in you and to bring some restoration. Allow his grace to work through you through this season that you're in. And I just want to conclude with one other critical fact. All that I've been talking about today is based on the assumption that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. The beginning of our restoration, it can't even start. Nothing that I've talked about today can even begin until you understand that you're a sinner, just like me, just like everybody sitting in this room, and that our sin separates us from God because he is holy and perfect, and it's just against his nature. So we have this problem of a broken relationship with God, and there was nothing that you or I can do about it in ourselves. That's why he sent his son. And Jesus, his son, left eternity and came down into this world as a human being. He humbled himself to the point of being a human being, and he lived a sinless life. There was no sin in him, and yet he still willingly allowed himself to suffer and to die on that cross. And when he was on that cross, he took our sin, the sin of all human beings for all time, upon himself. And not just our sin, he took the punishment, the wrath of his Father. He bore it on himself, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was at that moment. And he died. He paid the penalty for our sin, and he was buried. But we know that he rose on the third day. And when he rose from the dead, he proved who he was. He proved everything he said is true. And scripture tells us he now stands with open arms, inviting all of us to come to him. Stop trying to save yourself. Stop trying to restore yourself. Stop trying to be a good enough person, and instead put your faith in him. And Bible says that when we do that, we're born again. Our relationship with God is restored. God's Spirit comes into us. We have a new purpose for living. We have the power now to resist sin, and we have a glorious future guaranteed for us in heaven. That's the gospel. Right? That's the good news. And I just wanted to go through that today because everything I've talked about today, it's all based on that first step of surrendering your life and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, that's when your true restoration can begin. And I'll just say one last sentence. I have seen, I was telling Pastor Chad, I miss some of this broad ministry. You know, I used to preach a lot and lead worship to lots of people. I don't do that anymore. And there's a part of me that's sad. But nowadays, I also really am blessed and appreciate the depth of ministry I get to go with people. I meet with them for months, some people for years, and we really get down into this. And I see God, for those who will let him, I see God do unbelievable things, just miraculous things. And it's really encouraged my faith. And so I just want you to know he can do that in your life too, and he wants to if you let him, if you want to be healed. Let me pray for us before I turn over the mic. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share this today, Lord. Please use my humble words and through the power of your Spirit, speak to everyone in this room today, wherever they are in their lives, wherever they are in their spiritual journeys, wherever they are in their relationship with you, whatever's going on in their lives, you know, Lord, and you care. I just pray that you would use your truth today to be healing, to be an encouragement, to be motivating, or that you would encourage people to let you in and let you help and let you bring healing and restoration. I thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done to reconcile us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in us. Thank you for this time. I lift it all up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.